This is Rising Up with Sonali, and I'm your host, Sonali Kolhatkar. You can watch this program on Free Speech TV and listen to it on community and independent radio stations nationwide. Hundreds of thousands of creative workers in the film and television industry are currently flexing their labor power. For the first time in more than 60 years, the Writers Guild of America and SAG-AFTRA, the Actors Union, are striking simultaneously. Filming has halted mid-production and press junkets are on hold. At the heart of the union's conflict with the Alliance of Motion Picture and Television Producers, or AMPTP, which represents all the major entertainment media corporations, are the issues of royalty payments, known as residuals, and the use of artificial intelligence, or AI. On Wednesday, July 26th, I spent the morning at a picket line with striking writers and actors in Burbank, California, outside Disney's headquarters, and I asked them why their unions were striking and how Hollywood workers are struggling even as corporate studios are thriving.
We're actors, we are not AI. Hey, hey. Hi, hi.
Hi, I'm Danielle Rain. I've been working in the industry. My union card goes back to 1985. That's when I first got my union card. And this has been an incredible way to make a living, but it has slowly ebbed away, constantly making less and less. The increases are 2.5% to 3% a year, which doesn't even keep up with the cost of living. We all have worked for a long time in this business, and we want to be able to pass it on down to our kids who have union cards and may not be able to make a living. That's what we want. We want fair contracts. We want decent increases. We want them to take care of our pension and our health insurance, and we need to fight for that. And that's why we're here.
Hi, my name is Devon Edwards, and I'm a pre-WGA writer, an aspiring writer to get into the union and hopefully tell my stories one day if the AMPTP get their stuff together. Like most of us who move out here to Los Angeles, you know, we come out here to follow a dream or a passion, you know, and one of my passions after serving in the military was to be a writer so I can tell some of these profound stories over the life that I lived over these last, you know, several years. And just coming out here to stand in solidarity with the union, you know, we out here striking for fair pay when they want us to be homeless.
My name is Scott Browner. I'm not in SAG or WGA, but I'm an IATSE member. I've been in the Cinematographers Guild, Local 600, for over 30 years. So it's so insidious as the business has gotten so top-heavy. So many executive producers making up big bucks, and we're really having a hard time making a living. And this is just 3 years removed from the COVID lockdown, where the whole business was also shut down for 6 months, some shows even longer. And people are just beginning to recover from that, and now this. So it's insidious.
Hi, my name's Adina Porter. I'm an actor, and I'm here protesting at Disney because my union is on strike, and we're here to get fair pay and respect for what we do. I never thought I had to say this, but I'm an actual human being, and I'm proud that I can use my emotions and my history and my knowledge to move people. I've been told over the years that I've been very effective at storytelling. I've made a profit from it. These companies have made a profit from it, and I'm asking them to share, especially in this new streaming model.
Hi, my name is Michael Patrick Lane. I'm an actor, and I'm here fighting for our rights. Powerful people love power. Money people love money. And if you can throw some crumbs in the middle and make everyone fight against each other for the small, for the crumbs, you know, that's what we're trying to dispel here. All of us unionizing together, fighting against this. I mean, the trickle-down effect has never worked because they refuse to turn on the faucet. So we should honestly stop building them up, and we have to completely stop work so that we can figure out a system that's a win-win paradigm and not just take until you're all used up. You can go now.
Hi, I'm Lily Knight. I'm an actor, and I'm here today because this is the moment where we all need to stand up. Workers all over the country are in trouble, and we know it, and it's time to make our voices heard. I mean, we all see the oppression of the corporate scaffolding of our entire social system, and it's eroding our ability to make a living and to live the lives that we conceived of. I think the larger thing is that greed gets stopped wherever it can be. There are just, the 1% is just getting fatter and fatter while the rest of us do not thrive.
Bob Iger's mansion could probably pay for a lot of what actors are asking for.
It's ridiculous what these people make. It bears no relation to what a person needs.
Hello, I'm Riley Line LA. I'm part of the SAG Union. I'm an actor, I'm an artist, and I'm here to show my support for the Writers Guild and for the union. I think especially for young actors, it's really important that we show our support.
How old are you?
I'm 15. Yeah, I mean, it's kind of a bittersweet thing to be here. I mean, it's really great that we're all collectively coming together to fight for what we need. But also it's disappointing that this is something that we have to do. So the quote here is from the movie Kill Bill. We'll roar and we'll rampage until we get bloody satisfaction. But in the movie, she says, I roared and I rampaged until I got bloody satisfaction. This is not a real sword, by the way.
Hi, my name is Alex Manoogian. I'm in WGA and SAG. I wrote on Grey's Anatomy. I've acted in TV and also some voiceover. I think one of the big ideas is this idea that, oh, writers and actors only work a portion of the year, so why do they expect to get paid like they work the full time? Because writers and actors are working all year long. Most of the time, we're working without getting paid. We are working to find more work. We're creating stuff. We're trying to meet people and do everything else we can. Everybody out here who is striking is certainly doing this for free, and it's not unusual for them. One of the great myths I've heard is that some people on the producer side want to wait out this group because we're going to start losing our unemployment and our apartments and various things like that, but we all have learned how to survive under those terms. This is nothing new for us. We go long periods of time without working because that's the way this business already works. We've become less and less of a union country over the last 40 to 50 years, and that has weakened our rights as individuals and as workers so significantly. It's, to me, working exactly the way the businesses want it to work. The other thing is the lack of transparency works exactly the way businesses want it to work. The fact that we're not supposed to talk about how much money we earn, we're not supposed to share our salaries with each other in general, makes it work exactly how the companies want it to work. It all benefits them and is a disadvantage to us.
My name is Dylan Cannon. I'm also an actor, and I'm here because they forced us into it. I've only ever known the struggle. So the fact that we're on strike right now is no different than the last couple of years where it was feast or famine. And the misconception that the public has about famous people, people who are really well paid, being in control of this industry or being the norm in this industry is completely out of touch with the truth and the reality, which is we're fighting for blue collar, middle class, support the country jobs. And the Association of Motion Picture and Television Producers are squashing the middle class across the country and around the world. It's not just us. This fight is for everybody.
Hi, I'm Marita Dallara, and I'm an actress, and I'm a SAG-AFTRA member.
Hi, I'm Steve Sobel. I'm an actor and a writer. I'm also a WGA member, and we're here to fight for better wages. This is our morning ritual now, is we get the kids out, get them to camp right now, and then come out here and hit the picket lines.
Yes.
Bob Iger's a smart guy. Bob Iger knows what's going on. Bob Iger has shareholders to answer to, but none of this happens. This building, these incredible, all the different wonderful Disney contents that you know, none of it happens without the properties, and the properties start with writers, and then the properties start with actors. And so it is in everybody's best interest to pay us so we can be comfortable and continue to deliver. And that's all we want to do. We just want to work, and we want to deliver great, great, great entertainment. Not content, entertainment.
He is woefully out of touch.
Yeah.
Woefully out of touch.
Marie's going hard.
No, not that hard.
Yeah.
But it's so elitist. It's ridiculous. I'm done with that.
And playing nice doesn't work, right?
Obviously not. I mean, we tried that. Now we're here.
After a certain point, you know, how many yachts do you need? You know, let's share the wealth so that there's a healthy middle class. Now we know the streaming model has changed everything. And I used to think maybe it's me. Maybe I just don't budget right. How come I'm working all the time, but after I pay my taxes, I'm broke? Oh, wait a minute, because residuals don't carry us over anymore. So we're here to change that.
When I signed up for the military, we took an oath that we would fight against, you know, enemies, foreign and domestic. And here it is, we're fighting a domestic enemy, and they're expressing their tyranny on the union writers and SAG after actors, you know, and it's my duty to come out here and fight for the underdog, or for those, you know, who typically can't have a voice to fight for themselves. So I'm standing out here with the many, many voices, and that's why I'm out here today. I'm originally from Chicago, so I moved out here about 5 years ago. You know, just chasing the dream. So yeah, and it's, you know, with the cost of living in Los Angeles, California, you know, and, you know, with how much, you know, writers make on the regular, it's not enough. And I think a lot of people have a misconception of, they think once you come to Hollywood, that means you're rich. And it's like, no, you know, you got a lot of people that stacked up on top of each other, like living four or five deep in a two-bedroom apartment just out here to like make their dreams come true. So we work a lot of dream support jobs until the dream supports us, you know? So that's what we out here doing. We're not out here to like be rich, you know? I mean, healthcare is expensive, you know? I mean, just the idea to get sustainable and substantial amount of healthcare is insane, you know? I fought for this country for the rights of these executives. And I think, you know, I fought for fairness. Fair rights, equal pay, fair pay, you know, and I think they should own up to what I sacrificed my life for. I've lost friends on the battlefield, you know, so they owe it to us to give us what we deserve. Because like most of these executives, half of them don't even know the job. They get the job through nepotism, you know, they're the nephew or cousin or son or daughter or whoever else, you know, and then they hire those beneath them to teach them to do the job that they're getting paid millions to do. And here we are on this picket line, you know.
Writers and actors, we have a whole bunch of amazing middle men and women who take part of our profit sharing. So you're automatically losing 10% to agents, 10% to managers, you 5% to lawyers perhaps, and then you're publicizing and you want to build up your career, but also the work you're doing, and you want to build up other studios, another 5% to publicists on top of the time allocation you do on for yourself. It's 30% gone, and then you're getting taxed an additional 35%.
My name is Steven Rockwell. I am an actor. I'm a member of the Screen Actors Guild at AFTRA. I'm also a member of Actors Equity Association. And I've been a member of the Screen Actors Guild since 1998, so 25 years I've been a member. I'm not anybody famous. I'm just a working stiff who's trying to make a living doing the thing that I'm good at, that I'm trained to do, that I love to do, and that I think that there's a demand for, that there's an audience that wants good actors in their stories. I do guest star work. I do co-star work. I do commercial work. I've got a national TV commercial running right now. But I mostly just catch work where I can catch can. I also work in the theater, so I love that, and I try to find work there. It's a separate union, but we fight for the same things, which is just fairness, to be treated like we're partners and not indentured servants. The wealthy do extremely well. The average folks are struggling. And that's true in our industry. That's true in our union. The folks who are celebrities are doing quite well. The average folks are struggling. Luckily, most of the celebrities understand this dynamic. They know they need good co-stars. They know they need good guest stars. They want there to be quality, talented performers in their projects. So they want us to be treated fairly also. There have been a number of folks who showed up in solidarity, and we are grateful for their support. I know Bob Odenkirk was out. I know that Sudeikis, a number of people have been out on the line. We're grateful. We need their voices to be part of this struggle.
I just want to tell stories that, you know, give people hope, you know, and let them know that just because, you know, you go through something, doesn't have to define you. Like, I don't look like what I've been through. And there's a lot of us walking around here, you know, and they don't look like what they've been through. You look at them and you just see, oh, they have a great smile, or they have a great personality, but you don't know the demons that they fight underneath what's on the surface. So I want to tell stories to, like, show people that, you know, that there's restoration, you know, there's redemption in our past lives, you know. So, yeah, that's the type of stuff I want to talk about.
I think I just want to tell authentic stories and represent all the people that want change, and I think they all deserve to see that. I hope younger people, especially of my generation, are really given a voice and feel accurately represented. That's what I hope for the most.
Hi, my name is Bushra Khan. I am an actor, dancer, choreographer, and creator. I'm here today to support my fellow creatives, as well as fight for a world where we can do this and create for a world that is equitable and that can sustain our lives so that our souls aren't suffering when we create. Because ultimately, if a soul is suffering, the art suffers as well.
My name is Yuvi Graywall. I'm an actor. I'm here because I've been part of SAG since 2015, and I've felt the lowering of the wages, and we constantly have conversations like, I can't believe we're getting paid this much. It's always, I can't believe I'm only getting paid this much, always. It's never like, wow. It's always like, what? Where'd it go? So that's why I'm here.
Through the strike, I've begun to see that only the top 2 to 5% actually get to live that dream. The rest are definitely just trying to sustain themselves.
I think it's no accident that all of this is coming when it's the dawn of television for people of color, for underrepresented communities, and it's like tale as old as time. Let's underpay these black and brown people and you know, LGBTQ. It's ridiculous.
Yeah, I was out on the, you know, the strike lines for the WGA in 2007, 2008, and I can tell you that those strike lines look a lot different than now. And I'm so happy for it. But exactly what Marita said, is it a coincidence that suddenly, as soon as you start to see some diversity in this workforce, they're trying to figure out a way to pay everybody less and to make it, and if you're following the WGA negotiations, to make it impossible to climb the ladder from staff writer to producer to executive producer and so on. So it's not a coincidence.
I know, that ceiling is there. It's not good.
Any thoughts on being a woman in this field?
Well, let me get in on this.
Let him mansplain for me. I think it's our time. It's our time now. So step aside.
When women tell the stories, or when people of color tell the stories, they tell different kinds of stories, and that changes our world, right?
Completely changes our world. Our kids, refuse to watch something unless it's diverse. They're like, no, I don't want to watch that. I don't see myself in that. I don't want to watch that. So,
you know what I find interesting is that when I joined 2.5 years ago, it was like diversity, right? And because there were such frequent opportunities, I almost felt like I should be so grateful that I have this and this opportunity, that I never really questioned how much or how much more. It was just an opportunity that I had the space to be in, and I think that we're way past that now, that we are taking up space, but we have value in that, and we should be valued for that space we're taking up, not just to check a box.
And there's more money being made because of there's content, South Asian content, so it only makes more sense that we should actually make more money, right?
Is America hungry to see faces like yours on screen?
Of course. Yeah, I mean, it's obvious.
I mean, look at his muscles.
It's obvious.
Come on.
I mean, look at her height. Look at how it's obvious, right? You have all these global partnerships of content. There's a Netflix India, Disney India. Obviously, people want to see it, and there's so much money being made except for us. They want you to be like, so you, everyone here, there's no small parts, but there's a lot of small paychecks.
How do you tell the stories about the struggles of working Americans in a time of corporate greed?
That's a great question. I think in a perfect world, this becomes so transparent to everybody that it doesn't even make good storytelling anymore because it is finally so understood across the whole spectrum that everybody gets that corporations generally are not working for the benefit of anybody except for their stockholders and boards. I'm hoping it becomes so obvious that we vote away these problems. That would be wonderful. But we've got a very, very effective misinformation machine in our country. So,
but you're in the business that shapes culture.
That's true, you and I both. So yeah, I think we should do everything we possibly can for that. The trick is to do it in a way that's still hopefully super entertaining and enjoyable.
I think that storytelling does affect us. I think that you watch something and that you empathize with it, whether you agree with it or not, it brings up a conversation. And I think I've seen over the past 6 years that we have had some pretty amazing conversations that have come into light, and we've had strikes leading up all through COVID about racial and sexual inequality, and I think that we're starting to see more and more of these stories being told that hopefully navigate us into a way of empathizing with one another and building each other up, because that's what America was supposed to be built on, and it would be really great to get to that. We have a shot.
There is an interesting parallel, but often social change starts in the sort of Hollywood or entertainment sphere. The Harvey Weinstein of it all, which is obviously something that is continues to be a problem, but as soon as that kind of sea change is recorded in the public eye with public, you know, entities, then it starts to filter into the corporate side of America and the world. And there's so much more work to be done. But I think continuing on the path of inclusion, continuing on the path of representation, and continuing on the path of just telling stories that people need and want to hear, that's how we help. That's how we shift.
Hi, I'm Lauren Callahan. I'm a grip at the Local 80, and I'm here today supporting SAG-AFTRA in their strike against all of these studios. We're right now outside of the Walt Disney stages in Burbank, California, and we are in solidarity with SAG and with the writers. When the Local 80 had their option to go ahead and strike a couple months ago, and we just decided to sleep in the bed that we were already laying in and, you know, not change anything. I think this is a change that we were looking to make and to have, and I'm really proud to stand here today.
And I'm here in solidarity because our business is unique in that there are five unions that come together, or six even, to make any kind of project. You know, and we're all out of work too. When there's no scripts or actors to work in our shows, there's no work for us either.
The power of unions, the power of collective bargaining allows us all to put our foot down. What's happening in our business is happening in businesses all over the country. Anybody who's feeling squeezed by their corporation, by their corporate bosses, by the people above them, who feels that they're not being fairly compensated for what they do, is a part of this fight. Not everybody has a union to protect them, which is unfortunate. But this is the power of unions, and it's the power of coming together and saying no. It's ultimately, we want to get back to work. We just want a contract. This is a negotiation, and striking is a negotiating tactic, and it's an important one, and it's probably the most vital one. And you know, so we've got to show our faces, and we've got to send the message that no, big no.
We're fighting for the future of the entertainment industry, not for our crumbs individually as actors. This is really the viability, and we haven't even touched on AI, which we'll leave for another time, but we're fighting for the future of entertainment, nothing less. This is a strike because we want health insurance, because we want a living wage. It's It's the same as UPS. It's the same as the Postal Service. It's the same as the bus drivers or anybody else that you can think of.
I'm proud that that UPS respect and listened to their employees. And their wages are going up, their conditions, the air conditioning, it's needed. I want an air-conditioned man behind that wheel driving those cars around. We've got nurses here chanting, you know, when you attack one union, you attack us all. Last week when I was here, we had fast food workers here. I think this is a moment, you know. We've learned after the pandemic that labor matters. You know, storytellers. I mean, you know, we're one of the few industries that make something that the rest of the world still wants. So pay us what we're due.
And that's a report from a picket line in Burbank, California, outside the Disney headquarters, where striking actors and writers shared with me their challenges of working in Hollywood. I'm Sonali Kolhatkar. You can access this and other interviews on our website, risingupwithsonali.com, by becoming a subscriber. Find our audio podcast on iTunes and Spotify, and follow us on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram at RU with Sonali.